This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Legs is so great.
Oh, he's great. Tim the Toolman Legler.
He didn't like that. He likes America's Analyst better.
No, he likes America. He didn't say that he didn't like it. He just likes America's Analyst better.
Can we do some show planning while we're on the air?
What's up?
Sure.
Non-basketball season. My vote is to still have America's Analyst on.
Yes.
And give him the weirdest things to analyze.
It's never a bad time to have Legler on.
I agree.
He's proven that.
I think we
and
give him.
He's a big football fan, too.
Yeah, I think we give him, like, the pillow conversation we had today. Pat Costello brought up the idea that you're supposed to actually wash your pillows in addition to your pillowcases, and we just give Legs pillows to break down.
And we let him be the authority?
Yes, no matter what he says. I'm in. Nuno? Considering you have no control over the TV department here, they just post their own tweets on national television. What do we think about America's Analyst year-round? Now, we haven't asked Legs, but what do you think about that, Nuno?
If he finds time in between hanging out at the Jersey Shore with Pat, I think we'll be all right.
Okay.
We can try to get it done.
What does that mean exactly?
You know, he's busy. He works all, you know, NBA. He does radio shows. He's flying back and forth. I know he has.
Why is Nuno looking for an out?
I don't understand.
I'm not looking for him.
He takes a lot of time off in the summers, hanging out at the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
With Pat.
All right. I took that as him looking for an out. Anyway, it's been an interesting 24 hours when it comes to Bill Belichick, because there was a really in-depth article on ESPN.com. People should go read it if they haven't. Written by Seth Wickersham, Don Van Natta, and Jeremy Fowler. Voted off the island inside Bill Belichick's failed job hunt. And it goes through his attempt to get another head coaching job on from New England to any of the other openings that were out there. And it also details that Robert Kraft, his former boss with New England, a man that he won 6 Super Bowls with, employing him as the Patriots head coach, didn't necessarily call around the league trying to help him get another job. And this coming off of a documentary, Apple Plus with Dynasty, that many people took as a negative piece about Bill Belichick. So over the last few weeks now, there's been a lot of negative outcry about Belichick. And yet, CeCe, you and other ex-players specifically, including Damian Woody, who joined us here on Unsportsmanlike earlier, have really come out to Belichick's defense, because it seems like we have lost focus on how great he was.
Yeah, all I can say is I'm looking forward to the Pat McAfee draft spectacular with Bill Belichick is going to be on it.
He was amazing yesterday with Pat.
I just want to know, like, the response to all of this stuff. I don't understand it. I don't get it. This is somebody that has worked with you for over 2 decades, took you to 9 Super Bowls, and you won 6 of them. I don't understand how you then in kind return what he's done for you by bad-mouthing him to other people around the NFL. If nothing else, Bill Belichick knows what the hell he's doing from a coaching standpoint. You can criticize him when it comes to his person-to-person skills. You can criticize him when it comes to being able to draft players or sign players in free agency. You cannot criticize him putting players in position to have success from an X's and O's standpoint on the field. You just can't. He's one of the best, if not the best, to have ever done that. So to think that this person couldn't be a part of getting a franchise turned around, couldn't be a part of establishing a culture that leads to sustained success, couldn't be a person that helps you get the most of the players that you have on your team, I don't understand what you're doing.
I do. I'm kind of surprised that you guys are taking it this way, because after I read the article, I didn't take it in any way that Robert Kraft sabotage Bill Belichick. I took it as Robert Kraft having a very transparent conversation with his close friend, Arthur Blank, and giving him a truthful assessment of what it would be like to work with Bill Belichick, the good and the bad. It seems to me as if he just put it all on a platter for him and let him and the people around him make that decision. And they processed all that information and the interview that Bill Belichick did with them, the 2 interviews that Bill Belichick did with them, and they didn't even put him in the top 3. And guys, in today's NFL, a lot of ownership groups and front offices do not want to have the type of power dynamic that made Bill Belichick so successful. And I also, Evan, earlier in the show, you were talking about coaches that might only have a 2 to 3 year window anyway in the NFL. So why not bring in Bill Belichick? If you're the Atlanta Falcons, the goal is not to have a 2 to 3 year window with a coach. The goal is to hire somebody who can go on a dynastic run like a Bill Belichick. And with him being 72 years old and 29 and 39 in the post Tom Brady era, I just don't know if I would want to take that risk either if I was an NFL owner. I completely understand why some of these people did not want to hire Bill Belichick, given everything he's going to command at this time in his life and in his career.
I understand that. I want to go back to the first thing, Smalls, because you said you don't see it the same way that we do, which is obviously fine. Can we just role play for a second? If you are Arthur Blank and I am Robert Kraft in this scenario, and you call me and you ask me what, because I want you guys to hear what I deem to be the right answer from Kraft in this case. So, like, what would you ask if you're Blank looking for the reference of Kraft?
Okay, so I'm Arthur Blank in this scenario?
Yes.
Bob, because I'm assuming he calls him Bob if they're close friends.
RKK.
RKK. Bob, give me the truth. What is it like to have Bill Belichick as the head coach of your organization?
It's fruitful. We won 6 Super Bowls. We went to 9. I have to start with the franchise value. When I got here, this was a franchise that was potentially on the way out, moving to Hartford. We have a brand new stadium. Our franchise is worth arguably more than any other franchise in the league outside of the Dallas Cowboys. He knows football better than anyone. You don't need to hire literally anyone else to do anything football related. He will do everything for you football related. Are you going to be included in every decision? No. You have to understand that when you hire Bill Belichick, you're empowering a person to run an entire football operation, and you are running the business. He's running football. It's going to come with winning. You're not going to be included in every decision. We've worked together for over 20 years. We have a complicated relationship, one that has benefited both of us, that has put him in the Hall of Fame, and hopefully will put me in the Hall of Fame. My year 21 with him is going to be different than year one. I don't even remember what it was like when we first started. I certainly couldn't tell anyone to not give it a try with this guy. Look what it did for me.
Lovely Bob. And all that success came
when
Bill Belichick was collaborating with Tom Brady. Since TB12 has left, he won a Super Bowl. Belichick has gone 29 and 39. What about that post-Tom Brady era is enough for me to turn over the reins of my organization to Bill Belichick?
Yeah, if we're going to be honest there, Arthur, let's be real about this. I was the owner of the team when Parcells walked out the door. I was the owner of the team when Belichick is gone, and I'm the owner of the team when Brady walked out the door. So ultimately, that's on me. So I would say you're going to have decisions you're going to have to make. I can't put that on someone else. I own the team.
I'm pretty sure Arthur Blank would be like, are you being held hostage right now?
Yeah, totally. Come on, Evan. Like, this is literally propaganda.
None of that would ever be said.
But is that not a fair answer? No?
It's fair if you're omitting a lot of the other parts of the story.
But what parts of the story? Why am I bad-mouthing this guy?
Hold on, Evan. Evan, you've done... I'm just thinking about this. You've done a lot of interviews, right? You've also probably given out a lot of references, right? And you've had those good employees, but they have those... There's some quirks, some... you know, personality, whatever, defects, whatever it is that, like, that, like, you still have to be honest and be like, yeah, hey, he's a great worker, but by the way, you need to, and you say it in a politically correct way.
You don't answer. If you want to badmouth someone.
And guess what? When you don't answer, that's your answer right there.
Okay, that's fine, but it can't be attributed to me in an inside story like this. But you can't attribute quotes to me if I literally, if you say, Nuno, if you say, like, I've known Rob for years, Rob, our social and digital guy. Hey, would you recommend Rob to someone else to work there? I'd say, yeah, I've worked with him for the last 10 years. No, but would you recommend him to someone else? We've worked together for 10 years. If I'm not answering the question, you know what I'm saying, but you can't quote me on that. Cece, you, during this whole process, you rolled your eyes at the one thing that is so mind-boggling, they didn't have him in the top three. And someone is quoted as saying that.
Which is wild. Because it comes down to their comfort level. It comes down to the environment being easygoing and collaborative, which is just ridiculous. In the NFL, there's nothing easy about winning football games. It's hard. But you know who I know knows how to do that? Pretty much better than anybody else in the history of the game, minus one other person? It's Bill Belichick. He's second when it comes to the all-time wins list to only Don Shula. And he's, what, 12, 13 games off of that mark? Like, that's how good this dude is. He quite literally has more answers than anybody in football right now because he's been in football in the NFL longer than anybody. He started off as an assistant coach with the Baltimore Colts in 1975. That's 5 decades of NFL experience. The guy knows what the hell he's doing. Yeah, it didn't look great post-Tom Brady, but you show me the coach that's great when he don't have a damn quarterback. I just don't understand.
But who picked the quarterback?
Listen, and that's fine. It's fair to criticize. It's fair to criticize him. How many franchises swing and miss on quarterbacks? Guess what? All 32 of them. Every franchise has swings and misses when it comes to quarterbacks that were picked high in the draft. So it's not like the Patriots are unique in that way. All I'm simply saying is this. Let's not conflate the two things when it comes to what Bill Belichick did in the first two decades that he was the head coach of the Patriots with what's happened over the last 4 years.
But you said he got the quarterback wrong. Mac Jones looked pretty capable at the outset. He brought in Joe Judge and Matt Patricia to run the offense for him. That's on him. There are a lot of things that we can point to in the post-Tom Brady era that is squarely a Bill Belichick decision that did not work out. And we know that winning is sometimes uncomfortable. But for somebody who might be in your organization for only 3 years and it might not work out, are you really ready to come in based on the post-Tom Brady era that you saw from Bill Belichick, knowing that he's 72 years old and that you might only have him for a couple years and completely upend your organization? I would rather go the Raheem Morris route and bring somebody in who I feel like is going to be somebody who can have a long runway of success with my organization.
I hear you, Smalls. When you said we got a lot of things that we can point to post-Tom Brady that Bill Belichick didn't do right, what are those things? Like, there's only one thing. It's the quarterback and the decisions around the quarterback. That's it.
That's literally it.
That's the only thing you can point to. Okay, he drafted Mac Jones, and he did something unconventional, hiring a defensive coordinator to be his offensive coordinator. That's the only decision. Nobody criticized him when he went and got a Billy O'Brien to be his offensive coordinator this year. And Matt Jones looked worse with Bill O'Brien as his OC than in the 2 years with Matt Patricia as his OC.
Not debatable.
The guy can't play quarterback.
That's right.
Okay, so you want to say that Bill Belichick missed on that? That's fine. It happens to the best of them. It's more art than science. But when you start talking about a coach that can look at the players on a team and devise a game plan for those guys to have success, it's Bill Belichick. There were 9 coaches that were hired this offseason hiring cycle. Over half them coaches going to be gone 3 years down the road. So, like, when we start talking about the age factor in the runway, I mean, most coaches only stick around 3 years anyway. So, I mean, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, or if you're the Washington Commanders,
or even those with coaches, like Philadelphia.
If you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you were considering firing Nick Sirianni. The Dallas Cowboys, any of those situations with your coach being fired or on the hot seat, how can you look at that with a straight face and say that the coach that we have or the coach that we hired puts us closer to winning a championship than Bill Belichick in 2024 and 2025? I don't know that you can make that argument.
Book it. I love it. Book it. Brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. All right. We're talking about goats in the coaching ranks. I think we got one of them coming up. Gino Auriemma, UConn women's basketball coach, scheduled to join us. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
UConn women's basketball coach Gino Auriemma is going to join us in just a couple of minutes here on Unsportsmanlike. Just to put a bow, kind of, CeCe, on the Belichick conversation for now, I have thrown out there, and I'm curious to know your thoughts on this, that this has actually become a good thing for him, because people like yourself and Damian Woody and others that know this sport inside and out are properly defending him and pointing out the good. Yeah. But there is some positive PR now that's going to come out of this negative.
Yeah, but a good thing to what end? Positive PR, positive perception, but does that lead to him getting a job next hiring cycle? I don't have the answer to that, because you're talking about him being a year removed from the NFL and being a year older, which I think he would be in his age 73 season in 2025. So, I mean, do you want to go down that road if you're a franchise, having him step in as a new head coach and him being the oldest person to have coached in the NFL in the modern era?
Part of the reporting indicates that the Giants, Eagles, and Cowboys at NFC East is really where he could consider wanting to go.
Yeah, and our Jordan Renan, who covers the New York Giants, said that this is something that's going to loom over Brian Daboll the entirety of the season.
It's going to be very interesting. Listen, like, with no disrespect to any other coach, if Bill Belichick wants to work for me, I am hiring him in 2 seconds, and I'm not even thinking twice about it. Same thing I would say about our next guest, Gino Auriemma, UConn women's basketball coach, one of the great coaches ever in any sport. He joins us now. Coach, thank you so much for joining us, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen. With you, let's start with this. You have done so much for the women's game. You've won championship after championship, and yet this year felt different than any other year in the history of women's basketball. How would you describe what the last 12 months have been like for your sport?
Well, I've never gotten so much, hey, great job, great job, great job, for losing. It's crazy. Like, all the years we won national championships, everybody was like, yeah, you know, that was really cool. You guys were supposed to win. Like, this year, just something happened that I think was a perfect storm, you know? All the right players, all the right ingredients were right there to make it happen. You know, people decided to watch. You guys, you know, not just you, but everybody decided that, hey, we need to put this on because it's really compelling. And the kids delivered, and it was to me, I can't overestimate what it meant to the game, and now it's on us to make it, to take it one step further.
Coach, you had Paige Bueckers back after missing a year due to injury. What has it meant for you to have her this season, both personally and as a team, and what does it mean for your program moving forward, the fact that she is coming back to UConn for yet another year?
All right, well, it's, you know, sometimes things are complicated, but sometimes they're not. Her freshman year, we lost in the Final Four. Her sophomore year, we lost in the national championship game. Her junior year, she was hurt, and we didn't get out of the region. We didn't get out of the regionals. And now this year, she played, and we were in the Final Four. So, I don't want to say this, like, you know, like, really to a lot of people, but she might be more important to our program than me, which I hate to admit that, but that's just the reality.
Coach, last night at the USBWA Awards, they announced that the Women's National Coach of the Year Award is going to be named after you. I know that it was a tremendous honor for you, but I actually want to ask you about the recipient of that award last night, South Carolina's Dawn Staley. When you look at her from your vantage point, what makes her such an effective coach?
Well, I think the same thing that makes any coach effective. One, you know, the ability to attract great players to come play for you. That's number one. Number two is, then once you get those players to come play for you, the ability to get the best out of them. I don't know that anyone over the last 4 or 5 years maybe has been able to defensively, offensively, get her teams to play at a consistently high level than Dawn has. And this year they embraced the three-point shot, which that they had not done that previous to this year. And I think that changed everything for them. It just made them almost, you know, when you took, you know, Cardoza, they just figured out the next great thing that they could be good at. And that's what great coaches do. You know, they take it from one thing to the next to the next. And, you know, Dawn's teams have been able to do that.
We're talking with 11-time championship coach, Hall of Famer, Gino Auriemma, UConn women's basketball here on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You have had so many elite, iconic players, yet this year felt different than any other year, as we've discussed. And I think all of your elite, iconic players, like Taurasi, like Lobo, et cetera, led us up to this point. Why do you think Caitlin Clark was able to captivate a nation differently than anyone else has? And I mean that complimentary to your players, because if not for your players, she's not inspired to do this like she did this year, and she has said as such.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Somebody asked Diana that one time, like, do you think Coach would have let you take some of the shots she took? And Diana said, no, we weren't even allowed to dribble. You know, we won three national championships with Diana in a different way than the way Caitlin did it. The way Caitlin did it was something that hasn't been done in basketball since Pete Maravich played on the men's side. And it had, and no one had ever seen it before on the women's side. Now, that's not to say it had never been done by players. You know, I can go back 100 years. You know, I can go back to Cheryl Miller, Carol Blizjowski, Lynette Woodard, you know, but no one had ever seen it because the media had never latched onto it. So now you've got the media is fascinated. This kid is fascinating to watch. Like, where's she going to shoot it from next? And she delivered. And that's not to say that Caitlin was the be-all and end-all. That meant she brought eyes to the game. But then the rest of the game delivered. You know, whether it was Paige or Juju Watkins or, you know, Angel Reed, whoever it was, they were given a platform and they delivered. And to me, that's the big thing. You know, back in the day, we used to talk about, listen, we want exposure. We want more exposure. Okay, but if you're not any good, you get exposed. So we got the exposure, but we delivered. That's the big thing.
Coach, there's been a lot of debate with the growth of the women's game, particularly in this year, about equity in sports and the draft eligibility rules. In the WNBA, you have to be at least 22 years of age, whereas in the NBA, you have a lot of one-and-done players. I'm curious, from your perspective, do you think that the WNBA should allow players to be eligible earlier in their basketball careers, or do you think it's a good thing that they're forcing these kids to stay in college until they're 22 years old?
Well, it depends whether you want the game to grow or whether you want to kill it. If you want to kill it, then let the kids leave after freshman year. Which is, like, on the men's side, it's become transactional. Okay, everybody's a free agent. Everybody's a mercenary. It's not the kids' fault. All right, so you go, you play, you're good, you go to the NBA. You go, you play, you're good, you go to another school because they give you more money. All right, so that's starting to impact the women's game. To me, what helped the women's game grow is the people in Iowa got to grow up with Caitlin Clark. Mm. The people in Connecticut got to grow up with all my great players. There's something to be said for that. You know, when players stay with their team long enough to build a brand, I don't know that our game can continue to move forward if all of a sudden our guys are gone and then we never hear from them again because they're playing during the summer and they're not on our team anymore. So I like the rule, and the players decided the rule. So if they change the rule, God bless them, but I think it'll ruin the game.
Hmm. Coach, last night we talked about how Storrs, Connecticut is the epicenter of the basketball world. Obviously, you're having so much consistent success on the women's side, and Danny Hurley and the men's back-to-back champions. And we talked about how those programs feed off one another. And I know you're very locked into what you need to accomplish with your team, but what's your relationship like with Danny Hurley? Do you guys get together and have talks about basketball, exchange information or tips or anything?
Well, you know, I'm old enough to be his father, I think, you know. So it's a different conversation when we talk. But just the other day, you know, he was in my office and we talked for about 45 minutes about just different things and things that are impacting the game. And listen, winning two national championships in a row, there's not a lot of people that have been in that space, you know. And he and I, you know, we have this relationship that I think is unique, and it's healthy, and it's great for me because I love watching them play. I see their players every day down in the weight room or in the training room or in the dining room. I watch them play. I'm fascinated by how they do things offensively. He's one of the best every day on a daily basis practice coaches I've ever seen. So, yeah, I'm old enough to be his dad, but I've learned a lot from the guy, and it's just really, really, really cool to have him and his staff and all that energy in our building. I it's really cool. It's made me a better coach, I think.
Gino Auriemma has won 11 titles, UConn women's basketball coach. He's in the Hall of Fame, but his biggest accomplishment is he got to do what we get to do normally, and that is hang out with Michelle Smallman last night at the USBA event in St. Louis. Coach, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you guys were as nice as Michelle, then I would talk to you more. That's the bottom line.
Well said. Well said. Well perfect. Said. Perfect, Coach. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. There is Gino Auriemma, head basketball coach, women's basketball coach at UConn. Certainly a spicy answer to a question CC asked about the freshman leaving early. If you want to ruin the game, you'll change the rule. Wow. Well, a freshman that could have left early, if she was allowed to, is a freshman at USC. We are scheduled to be joined by Juju Watkins, USC star player, next. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I got bad news and I got good news. The bad news, actually I got bad news and great news. The bad news is, per Adrian Wojnarowski, Miami Heat star Jimmy Butler is expected to be sidelined for several weeks with a right knee MCL injury suffered in the loss to the Sixers last night. Brutal news for me and other Heat fans, and for Jimmy Butler more so. Obviously brutal, as they have the Bulls tomorrow night here on ESPN Radio in the play-in game. The great news, I defer to Michelle Smallman to introduce our next guest, because this is awesome.
It is awesome, Evan. I had the great pleasure last night of speaking with our next guest and introducing her and honoring her as she won the Tamika Catchings Award for the USBWA for the Women's Freshman of the Year. We're joined by USC guard Juju Watkins, one of the big stars in college basketball right now. She was second in the nation in scoring this season. Juju, thanks so much for joining us. And you came into USC as the number one recruit in the nation. And as the award last night outlined, you absolutely met and exceeded those expectations. But with all that being said, was there any pressure on you to have a certain level of success right out of the gate in your freshman season?
I wouldn't say there was a lot of pressure. I mean, I have such high standards for myself, so I think that's just me always being hard on myself. But I think just having my teammates and my family and my coaches, they really just kept me grounded. And I was able to be really patient with myself throughout the season. So I'm just grateful for them.
Juju, Coach Carolyn Peck, who works here at ESPN as one of our basketball analysts, said that this generation of basketball players in women's college basketball grew up watching the WNBA. And so I'm curious from your standpoint, who was the player or players that you modeled your game after growing up?
Yeah, growing up, I always called a Sparks game when I could when Candace was there. So I love Candace and have always looked up to her and tried to model her versatility on the court.
Juju, when you look at this awesome season that you had, this amazing scoring season, obviously the team success, how do you then make it better next year? How do you build on the momentum that your team, yourself, and women's basketball has had this year?
Yeah, I mean, the job's never finished. I mean, it was only my first year. And we got as far as we, you know, we got pretty far, but at the end of the day, we didn't get a national championship, and I think that's always the goal. So there's definitely things to improve on and get back in the lab and work on.
Juju, there was such a spotlight on women's basketball this season, so many new eyes that came to your sport. Is there one moment for you with all of this attention that was brought upon you and your game and just the sport as a whole that you said, wow, I can't believe this is happening right now?
Yeah, honestly, I think every time we went into Galen to play in our gym, there was just so many great fans, and we really were able to build a fan base this year with the help of women's basketball being on the rise, but also just having a special team. And I think that that was always a pinch me moment, just going into the gym and seeing so many young fans, older fans, just seeing how we were able to grow our fan base in such a short amount of time.
Juju, this season, Caitlin Clark broke the points record in college basketball for men's and women's in a career. And people immediately pointed to you and saying you have an opportunity to break the record that Caitlin Clark just set. I'm curious to know, is that one of your goals for your career while you're at USC?
I mean, Caitlin's just amazing. And I would just say, I'm just trying to play my game. I mean, whatever my team needs with me in the game is what I'm going to contribute. So, I mean, that's not necessarily my main goal, but if it ends up happening, it happens. But I think just having a national championship is my main goal.
We're talking with Juju Watkins, star USC women's basketball player here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. You've had a lot of wow moments this year. I believe the entire James family at one point showed up to a game. Other celebs, yeah. Other wow moments that you've had this year, looking around saying, okay, I'm just a freshman in college and they're all here to see me and my team?
Yeah, a lot of those this year, actually. My team had the chance to have Kehlani at the game, wow. Chris Brown, who else? Kevin Hart. Will Ferrell, like just crazy names that we would never think would come watch us play, but they came, so we were all starstruck.
So when that happens, you do they come see you after the game where you guys can get a picture and they can talk? How does that work when you see them at the game?
Yeah, I mean, if they could stay. I mean, you know, just knowing their stardom, sometimes they left a little early, but if they could stay and talk to the team, we'd always like greatly appreciate it. But then just taking the time out of their day, honestly, to come see us in the world. So,
Juju, have you found yourself like as a diehard women's college basketball fan now, like watching or just in basketball fan, yes, in general, watching the WNBA draft? Like, were you all in on that? Everything from the fashion to the draft picks to the X's and O's of the excitement around the WNBA draft, the way we are with other drafts now, where we literally focus on those things, right? The fashion and the X's and O's. We'll do it with the NFL draft next week. Were you all in on that last week or this past week?
Yeah, I was definitely in. I think being in the environment, playing in it, you learn these different players and how great they are. And just to see the success that everyone's had this year, I'm just a fan of everyone. And I'm just excited to see where the game is going to go and how great my peers are going to be.
Well, Juju, thank you so much for joining us. Congrats on an amazing season this year, and we will talk to you next year after you win the title, okay?
Thank you, guys.
All right, there's Juju Watkins, tremendous women's basketball player, freshman. You know, I mean, everybody's kind of buzzing about the idea that maybe she could actually break Caitlin Clark's scoring record.
Yeah.
I can't say it's probable, but it is possible.
Yeah. I think it actually is going to happen. I think she's that good. I mean, you burst onto the scene and you are second in the country in scoring in your freshman year?
Yes.
Not easy.
Not easy.
Well done. Smalls, boy, what a night Smalls had last night. Dawn Staley hanging out with her, Gina Auriemma, Juju Watkins.
I mean, all
Roy Williams.
Hitters.
Roy Williams. And now she has to come back to hang out with you and I. That's rough. Grass is greener for Smalls. Again, grass is greener when you're thinking about True Green, of course. I love a beautiful lawn, hate doing the lawn care, so where do I go? True Green. They're the official lawn treatment provider of the PGA Tour. We all know those are some nice greens, so just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and top it off when you sign up for an annual plan by April 20th. Get one application free. Visit TrueGreen.com for the best lawn at the best price guaranteed. Restrictions apply with True Green.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
Talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
Oh, man, not that you all don't already know this, but Twitter and X is a wild place. Just a wild place. Very, very interesting, some of the comments and the chime-ins from the Belichick-Robert Kraft article about Belichick being voted off the island when it comes to coaching in the NFL. But I digress.
And that story is not going away, by the way.
That story is not going away.
No way.
Because Bill Belichick is not going away, and he's going to loom over all of these coaches that are going into 2024 in the hot seat.
And our conversation with Damian Woody today is going to be all over the place because Damian gave a passion plea. You gave a passion plea for what is going on with these NFL owners trying to be – they're almost bragging about not hiring Bill Belichick. Think about that.
Don't say it's winning above all else because it's not.
Absolutely right.
It's winning on your terms.
Perfectly so.
That's what it's more about.
That's right.
But anyway, I digress. We got to win. Speaking of winning, we got to win. I mean, the plays of the night haven't been great this week.
Yeah, you got to win.
We got to get a win. Well, I mean, you threw me under the bus in the first play.
Because I thought LeBron James scored 25 and a half points. That's some bold take I'm giving you?
It was bad.
Bad and bold are two different things.
It was bad.
I'm bad and bougie.
It cost me and it cost our audience money. We got to make some money. All right, so we missed out last night. Joel Embiid did not go over the 29 and a half. Only dropped 23 points. He did not look right. But we don't have any basketball to fall back on tonight, so we're going to baseball, the MLB, and we're going to go with the ultimate slump buster, that is the Miami Marlins, getting ready to start a road trip, and they're starting it off in Wrigleyville against the Chicago Cubs. So I'm going with the Cubs on the money line and Jameson Taillon to go over 3.5 total strikeouts. So that two-leg parlay pays out at plus 117. Cubs on the money line, Jameson Taillon over 3.5 strikeouts.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
Well, first off, let me credit the sportsmanlike moments or sportswomanlike moments to Michelle Smallman, Gino, and Juju hanging out with them last night and bringing them here with us today. So credit to Smalls on that. Well done.
Thank you. I was just thrilled that you guys were able to share in my conversation with the two of them. Absolute superstars. I loved getting to talk basketball last night with Dawn Staley and Gino Auriemma, but getting to meet and interact with Juju Watkins as she completed such a remarkable freshman year. It's just so cool to witness a young person who is breaking through and is on the ascent to continue greatness. It's just awesome. And I have no doubt that she is going to be the biggest name in college basketball as we continue on.
Well, I hope her head coach at USC, Lindsey Gottlieb, notices this studio here because she and I went to the same high school. And my high school football jersey behind me. So, she better notice that when she was watching her player, Juju Watkins, join us. All right, here we go.
Did you just try to chase after some clout?
You're damn right.
Also, that jersey looks like it's a prop in a movie.
Right?
It doesn't have any distinguishing features to it.
Well, it has a lot of interceptions underneath it. I promise you that.
I went to high school with Juju Watkins, college coach.
I saw she used to be a Cavs assistant. I saw her at Summer League in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I was like, so what pizza place did you order from? We were comparing which pizza places you order from. I mean, you got to do that, right? Yeah. In your hometown? Anyway.
Sneaky good pizza places up that way, too, though.
In Westchester?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great. Why it's not that sneaky anywhere in New York?
I mean, if you can get past the gated street.
Okay, that was a setup. I actually fell into that somehow. He got me
right in.
Yeah,
do you buzz the pizza guy in? Do you have to meet him at the gate?
Right. Like, how does that work? How does that work?
Does the security guard at the gate secure the pizza and bring it to you?
Yeah.
No, my robot butler goes and gets it, actually, is what happens
there. Wouldn't put it past you.
So Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce, they have a podcast, New Heights. And Jason Kelce is a Super Bowl champ like Travis is. Travis, though, has the ice. Jason does not. Why doesn't he have his Super Bowl ring? Let's take a listen.
After that event, we went right to Jason Lost His Ring, where we had a full vat of Skyline Chili.
God.
This is actually technically a three-way. It's not just Skyline Chili. There's spaghetti in there, cheese, and chili. The video does not do justice just how disgusting this was.
I had to get away from that corner.
I went to Skyline twice over the weekend. I love Skyline Chili. This chili had been sitting out for like some time period.
It smelled so bad in that part of the arena.
Mixed into that chili were socks with make-believe rings, and then there's actually only one real ring in there, which was my Super Bowl ring, that they had to try and find. One in each pool. But there was an unfortunateness. As you guys know, this game existed because I continually lose my Super Bowl ring. And I don't even know if Travis still knows this, but I legitimately lost my Super Bowl ring in this event. They could not find it. This is Jets Jake searching through the chili to try and find the sock that had my Super Bowl ring in it. We have still yet to find it.
What did you expect to happen?
I thought that we would just go in the pool and get the ring afterwards.
You're such a f***ing imbecile.
Greg got a metal detector. There's actually metal in Skyline Chili. There's traces of iron within the chili itself. So it's an impossible task to try and use a metal detector.
That's so good.
There's probably lead as well in there somewhere. It's just a hunk of metal. I'll just have another one made, I think.
Jason Kelce lost his Super Bowl ring in Skyline Chili. Sitting next to CeCe, watching this on ESPNU, I see your face. Are you more disgusted by the food or the loss of a ring in chili?
The food.
The food, okay. Yeah, so losing your Super Bowl ring doesn't bother you that much.
Yeah, because you can have one made. You can have a replica made. You can have another one made. Like, it's just like you lose one, you get it again, you get another one. To me, it's like, all right, you got a Super Bowl ring. That's great. It doesn't have to be the original. If somebody has to get another one made because they lost the first one they got, okay, well and good. But going into the chili, that is just disgusting. And I had to smell all kinds of awful, too. Just a vat of chili?
You look so bothered right now.
I'm nauseous. I'm disgusted.
And
I'm
it's
appalled.
In a sock. In the chili.
Yeah, it's just, I don't, for why and for what? I don't understand. There ain't enough prizes in the world for me to want to go into Skyline Chili to hunt Jason Kelce's Super Bowl
ring. You wouldn't, if Skyline Chili was in front of you, you wouldn't pull a Nuno, our producer, and say, hello? Because that's how Nuno now says hello, we've learned. Hello!
Yeah,
so
hello.
Hello!
If Skyline Chili was in front of me, I'm probably going to do something that's going to make all of you want to leave the studio, which is throw up in my mouth.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how bad. Like, think about that. But just a little bit of Skyline Chili would do that to me. Could you imagine a vat, like vats of Skyline Chili? Come on, man. It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. But do you guys think that it's really lost, or do you think someone found it and they're claiming that it's lost?
Oh, well, yeah, that may, it's lost for Kelsey. It may be found for someone else.
Exactly.
The way he presented it on his pod made it seem like he actually lost it. By the way, speaking of food, kind of. So remember last week, there was all the drama about who was going to be the Kentucky basketball coach, and Scott Drew, the Baylor coach, had to deny that he was meeting with Kentucky by putting out a picture of himself at a Mexican restaurant in Waco, Texas.
That is correct.
With a friend of his. Well, they updated it. So he now put out a new thing where he sat at the same table at the Mexican restaurant and signed the booth that he was sitting in, because it now is like commemorated as like this big moment in Baylor basketball history that he was at this table at the Mexican restaurant. We'll show it on ESPNU if Mark has that and he doesn't have Nick's tweets that he's just worrying about. I mean, I don't know how long of an intro do I need to give you there, Mark? There we go. Okay, so he's hashtag respect my decision. And they're signing the booth with a picture of the picture from the original day where you had the Mexican food with the white shirt and the salsa.
Yeah, and that's one of those moments that I'll always remember as Kentucky basketball.
That's your moment.
Not necessarily having the prestige that it once did.
It's the guy at the Mexican restaurant to prove his whereabouts.
Yeah, Scott Drew. Maybe the second or third choice for Kentucky basketball.
How pumped is that restaurant, though, by the way? How many people are going to come into that restaurant now just to eat there and sit in that booth and take that picture?
No doubt. If you know that a moment like that in your fandom happened, a TV show, whatever, you're definitely going to that restaurant for sure. Greeny, coming up next. We are on to Friday. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
No Skyline Chili there.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.